Following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Anti-Semitism is very much alive and very much unwell online today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, welcome to The Line of Fire broadcast. We had a technical issue that cut us off for a moment, but glad to be here with you. Here's the number to call with your Jewish-related questions. It's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you again. 866-34-TRUTH. If it's Jewish-related, it's welcome on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Those of you that I would say are anti-Semites, who hate Jews or who spread libelous reports about, quote, the Jews, please make your case as well as we talk about anti-Semitism on the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. The Catholic scholar Edward Flannery in 1985 published a book called The Anguish of the Jews. In that book, he described anti-Semitism as, and I quote, the longest and deepest hatred of human history. And he asked this question, what other hatred has endured some 23 centuries and survived a genocide of 6 million of its victims in its 23rd century of existence, only to find itself still intact and rich in potential for many years of life? Well, that was almost 40 years ago he wrote that. And anti-Semitism continues to thrive in the most unhealthy, ugly ways around the world to this moment. Now, please hear me. You can take issue with Jewish theology or Jewish beliefs. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. Doesn't make you an anti-Semite. You can say, I don't like certain things in the Talmud or, you know, the rabbinic literature. I don't like the way certain things are said. Or it doesn't make you an anti-Semite. Doesn't make you an anti-Semite if you say, look, I know the Jewish people need a homeland, but I don't like the way they treat the Palestinians, and I feel that they're being the bullies, and they're hurting people, and they're unjust. That doesn't make you an anti-Semite. An anti-Semite is a Jew hater. An anti-Semite is someone who believes, spreads, holds to libelous, false, slanderous exaggerations, caricatures, downright lies about the Jewish people. That makes someone an anti-Semite, okay? For example, let's deal with a race issue. If you said, for example, that black players dominate the NBA, there's nothing racist in saying that. That is the truth, right? If you say, well, that's because they can't do other things, that is libelous. That's downright lie, false. That's racist, right? So the same way you could say, it seems like a lot of Jews in America are really prosperous. That's not anti-Semitic. If you say the Jews control the money in the banks, that's a lie. That's anti-Semitic. So that's what I want to make clear here as we talk about it. So ADL, Anti-Defamation League, has been tracking since 1979 hate crimes in America, anti-Semitic hate crimes in America. In 2022, ADL tabulated 3,697 anti-Semitic incidents throughout the United States. Some of these would involve a kid just going up to an Orthodox Jew in New York City, blindsiding him, punching him, knocking to the ground. Other acts of violence, graffiti, different things. They documented, tabulated 3,697 anti-Semitic instances just in 2022, just in the States. This is, they said, a 36% increase from the 2,717 incidents tabulated in 2021, and the highest number on record since ADL began tracking anti-Semitic incidents in 1979. This is the third time, they write, in the past 5 years that the year-end total has been the highest number ever recorded. So spiking in America, Jews having to leave countries like France, England, many more leaving because of rising anti-Semitism. This is going on. And of course, online, where conspiracy theories abound, where the most wacky ideas can get a following, where someone totally unqualified and uncredentialed can get people listening to what they have to say, naturally, online is the perfect breeding place for a lie-based ideology, mentality, mindset like anti-Semitism. So what got this freshly on my mind, and by the way, hate crimes against Jews, that was the number one category in terms of most frequent in America, either religious or racial, the number one category in terms of numbers in America in the last year. So before I go to any of your calls, I want to focus on this. What brought this to my attention was I had seen, just spotted another comment, yet another anti-Semitic, hateful comment to a short video I did, which I'm about to play for you, just 3 minutes long, asking the question, why have Jews been expelled from so many countries? So I just went over to that video. We have over 3,000 videos on YouTube, and obviously you can't track all the comments there and all the posts and social media things we have out, articles, we can't track all the comments. I just started reading through them. Some of them are a year old, 2 years old. The video was posted 3 years ago. It was extraordinary. It was absolutely extraordinary to see the level of accusations that were there. Now, the vast majority of them violated our community guidelines. There's no personal attacks, no spreading lies. So you have different opinions. You can say, Brown, you're wrong on your theology. Brown, I think you're missing it here. You know, Brown, you don't know the heat. Whatever. You can do that. That's fine. Constant dialogue. Different. You know, there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of comments on all of our social media pages that differ with me on some level. Tens of thousands, at least, but probably hundreds of thousands. That's fine. That's kosher. That's good. But these violated the guidelines in many ways, and some were even inciting hate or potential violence. So I want to play the video. Then I want to give you a sampling of some of the comments. And then I want to play a clip for you and read something to you about two modern anti-Semites that will be real eye-opening for you, I think. So let's first go to that 3 minute video. There's a meme you'll often see on the internet, 109 countries, 109 countries. What does it mean? Well, Jews have been kicked out of 109 countries. Well, first, the number 109 is a debatable number. Jews have been kicked out of many cities and out of different countries, but the 109 number is debatable. Now it's become an internet meme, so everyone just assumes it's true. But certainly Jews have been kicked out of many countries. Why? According to the anti-Semites, it's because Jews are evil. According to the anti-Semites, it's because Jews are fundamentally evil. And because they are subversive and they seek to undermine the society in which they are because they're parasites and termites, therefore they get kicked out. The truth of the matter is that country after country, they're kicked out for not converting. For example, in 1492, all non-baptized Jews were expelled from Spain. And if people said, well, gladly be baptized and stay here and be part of the church, they could have stayed. No, they've been expelled, not because of their inherent evil, subversive nature, but because they didn't fit, and because often they refused to convert to the dominant religion, because of which they were expelled. You know what this is like? It would be like sending a black kid to 100 different white racist schools, and he gets expelled from each one. You say, must be something wrong with that kid. You say, but hang on, what about Leviticus chapter 26? Leviticus chapter 26, where God is speaking about the covenant curses. What's written there? Isn't it one of the curses, Leviticus 26:33? I'll scatter you among the nations, and I'll unsheath the sword after you, and your land shall be a desolation, and your city shall be a waste. So I'm going to scatter you in the nations. Yes, the Jewish people, and I am one. I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. So I say we have been scattered around the world. We have been judged by God. We rejected Moses, the prophets, the Messiah, because of which, as a people, as a nation, we've been expelled, we've been judged. But the fact is, there are two sides to every story. And God said through the prophet Jeremiah in the 30th and the 31st chapters that he was going to deal with the nations where the Jewish people were scattered because they mistreated them. And they did things beyond what God intended. So these countries who have treated the Jews with cruelty, who have expelled Jewish people and persecuted Jewish people simply because they were Jews, These countries have been dealt with by God and will be dealt with by God, because that is contrary to his plan. So he disciplines with love, but always with the goal of restoring and bringing back. Others have acted with hatred. So the main reason Jews have been expelled from so many countries is because they would not convert to the dominant religion. And in so doing, in many cases, they were seeking to be faithful to God, because as they understood it, they had to deny the truth of God to follow these other faiths. It's a complicated picture. All right, so a pretty simple statement there. Historians would not find anything exceptional in terms of what is stated there. Oh, no, but not in the comments section. Now, a lot of those commenting were clearly Black Hebrew Israelites. You could tell that by the names and the nature of the comments and the spelling of certain words, all right? but others, there are anti-Semites who are white. There are anti-Semites across the world, different backgrounds, atheist, Catholic, you name it, they're out there. So there were comments. One of the sickest ones is that it's the Jews were practicing pedophilia, which is justified in the Talmud, and these good moral Christians were appalled by it. That's why they kicked him out. That's one of the ugliest lies that was posted there. Others, well, you see, the Jews controlled all the money and they were greedy and corrupt. That's why they kicked out. In point of fact, that many jobs were excluded from Jews. One of the things they could do was lend money, and that's how many Jews got into banking, etc. And sometimes just a convenient way to get rid of your debts, well, get rid of the Jews. You don't owe money anymore. You know, that's reality. That happened. And you know, it's just because the Jews are evil by nature, and modern Israel today is not just an apartheid state, but a genocidal state, and the Jews are equivalent to today's Nazis. And of course, the Holocaust never happened. This is the junk, comment after comment after comment. There are almost 500 comments there. The great bulk of them were just garbage. But the very thing we're talking about, it's like this meme of a radical terrorist. And he's saying, "How dare you call me a terrorist? I'll kill you." Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, "Don't tell me I have an anger management problem." And you pound your hands like, "Yeah, Brown, don't tell me anti-Semitism exists. Now we're going to demonstrate Jew hatred to you right there on the page." All right, I've got a clip to play when we come back, and then something short to read, and then we go straight to your calls. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Now we've got a quick word from our co-sponsor, Trivita.
This is Michael Ellison, founder and president of Trivita Wellness. When I heard Line of Fire with Dr. Michael Brown, I knew this voice needed to be heard everywhere. A voice to help the church and spiritual leaders be strong. We need leaders like Dr. Brown, who's not only courageous, but applies the wisdom of God to help us have understanding in declaring God's word in love. And that is why Trivita Wellness has chosen to be a co-sponsor, along with you as listeners, supporting the Line of Fire radio broadcast. We also believe wellness and purpose is vital to our lives. I've written a book on the 10 essentials of wellness. I would like to offer you this book free today, plus free shipping. Trivita also has many outstanding nutraceutical products to help support your supplementation of essential nutrients. And as a new customer with Trivita, you'll receive a 25% discount on any product of your choice. Plus, Trivita will give 100% of your first purchase amount to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast.
Wanted you to know that Trivita gives 100% of the proceeds from your first order to help support the Line of Fire radio broadcast, then a tithe on every reorder that you make. Isn't that great?
Wow. That's wonderful.
We at Trivita are thrilled to have this opportunity in supporting your wellness goals and the Line of Fire.
To order, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for your 25% discount and your free book. Or call 800-771-5584 to learn of the products you desire for your wellness goals. The number again is 800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God.
Welcome back to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. Our first Thoroughly Jewish Thursday back from the land of Israel. My heart continues to beat for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and so blessed to... No, wait, hang on. This is our set. Oh, okay. Either way, great, great to be with you today on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Hey, as we're getting older, I know a lot of folks listening to me on radio are older. And as you get older, you encounter lots of different interesting things you didn't encounter when you were younger. So if you'd like to get a free copy of Michael Ellison's book, The 10 Habits of Wellness, you can do that. You can call 800-771-5584 if you want to find out more. It's 800-771-5584, free copy, no strings attached. But when you're on the air, ask some questions about some of the Trivita supplements if you'd like to find out about some of the things that I use as well. Hey, there's no substitute for healthy eating and healthy living, but supplements can add blessing to your life. Okay, so when I debated, the fellow goes by the name of Gorilla Hebrew, about who are the legitimate children of Israel. And to Hebrew Israelite listeners, viewers, I'm still waiting for one piece of evidence from a recognized historian of any color background, recognized historian, recognized linguist, recognized biblical scholar, recognized archaeologist, etc., that supports the 12 tribes chart. Just one example. I still haven't heard anything even coming close to an example for that so far. But it's the anti-Semitic elements. There are very, very few videos where we just turned off the comments on our YouTube channel. But both were dealing with exposing anti-Semitism. Well, one was dealing with a misuse of scripture by Black Hebrew Israelites, and the other was exposing anti-Semitism with some contemporary people, and it just got so ugly, there was no reason to have comments on. Those are the only times we ever had to turn them off. Debates with Muslims, we had to have turn them off. Debates with agnostics didn't have to turn them off. Debates with rabbis didn't have to turn them off. But here we had to. So what I want you to see is this is the end of the debate with Gorilla Hebrew. And I'm doing my best, despite his race baiting and things like that during the debate, and not following the rules of the debate. Maybe he was just ignorant of that, where you don't keep introducing new material, especially in your closing comments, and you're supposed to be going back and forth. But I was doing my best, as I would continue to do to this moment, to reach out with grace and to speak grace and truth, and to call out some of the junk that's out there. What I want you to notice. You'll hear what I'm saying. But the reason I'm playing this clip is because as I'm saying this, Gorilla Hebrew is smiling and nodding, and all right, through both of these quotes. So that's what we're up against. That's what we really need to pray for these people in deep deception. They're not my enemies. I don't hate them. My heart goes out to them. In fact, I appreciate their zeal. It's just zeal for something very demonic and very wrong. May the Lord bring them to repentance, open their hearts, open their minds. And if you are a Hebrew Israelite and you've been hurt by a white person or been hurt by a Jewish person, don't generalize by it. It's not all whites, not all Jews. Just like if someone's been hurt by a Black person or an Asian person or Hispanic person, you know, or a woman or a man, don't generalize. Don't generalize. That corrupts your own soul and heart when you do. Okay, so I'm making this appeal, but as I'm making it, those that are listening, I want you to picture this. Here is the gentleman that I'm interacting with, smiling and nodding, affirming these quotes. Let's listen.
Here's my larger appeal. I know emotions are high, and I know people came in with preconceived ideas already. And I asked you at the start, take them seriously. Now, here's what concerns me. February 2022, Alizar speaking after the Super Bowl, or at that Sunday, and said, that's how this movie ends, man. All right, that's the future of this world. Black and Latino people ruling the world. Jesus Christ is a big, angry black man, a black man who the whites of his eyes are red, and he's ready to come and kill. He wants to stomp people's brains out of their cranium. He wants to step on you people's head until your brains come out. Remember when 50 Cent said, his brain come out the top like Jack in the Box? Remember? That's one of my favorite lines, right? That's what Christ is coming back to do. And on a regular basis, we get comments like this. Here's from the tribe of Levi just a day ago. Hitler is an enemy and heathen devil like yourself, Dr. Brown. The Holocaust never happened, so stop lying to the world. This is the junk that has to stop.
Yeah. So again, as I'm saying that, the quote that Jesus is a big angry black man, and him being black or white is not the issue. But he's eager to stomp your heads till your brains come out. You say, yeah, but it says in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, that he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God and don't obey the gospel. Yes, the people who reject God blatantly will be judged with flaming fire when the Lord returns. What's that got to do with blacks and Latinos ruling the world while whites and others have their brains crushed out? Okay, zero. What, the latter is racist, the first is gospel, right? And the Hitler quote, that's the disease that is infecting many people today, the disease of anti-Semitism. It messes with your humanity. Then a few years ago, I had an interview, not a debate, but an interview with Catholic scholar E. Michael Jones, who is one of the leading anti-Semitic voices today because the anti-Semitism is mixed with scholarship and then mixed, of course, with error and presumption. So he was recently on an interview on Iranian state TV. And here's some of the things that he says during the interview. This is Memory TV. You can go to memory.org/TV, and it's extraordinary what you'll see. American writer E. Michael Jones on Iranian TV. Hollywood created the Holocaust narrative. Jews were not gassed in showers. These Jews had never seen a shower and didn't know what it was. Auschwitz had a swimming pool and other means to make life better. That's a fair summary. American writer E. Michael Jones said in an interview that was aired on Channel 4 Iran January 21st and 2nd, 2023, that the narrative that the Jews were gassed in the Holocaust is a conflation of facts. He explained that in reality, the typhus-infested Jews were emigrated from unhygienic shtetls in Eastern Europe to America through Germany. They had no idea what a shower was and were made to take a shower and had their clothes deloused with Zyklon B. He elaborated that as a consequence, Zyklon B has been conflated with showers by the Jews. He said that Auschwitz had amenities such as a swimming pool and that Hollywood is the regime that rules America and sustains the Holocaust narrative. He also said that the word Jew is taboo in America, but that this taboo is now being broken, that the overturning of Roe v. Wade is the beginning of the end of Jewish hegemony over American culture. He also said that the fundamental problem with American politics is that the Jews control both political parties. May God have mercy on E. Michael Jones and bring him to repentance. And thankfully, more Catholic leaders have been calling him out. He was even going to speak at a conference recently with some colleagues. They got word out, colleagues of mine, folks I know not closely, but I've worked with. They got word to them. They watched the interview. Friends got word to them. They watched my interview with E. Michael Jones, pulled out of the conference, said we can't participate. So may the anti-Semites be isolated in terms of recognizing how toxic and dangerous their views are. May the truth expose the lies. And for my own people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that by and large, still reject Jesus as Messiah. May my own people's hearts and minds be open to the truth of who Yeshua is. So while I pray for their salvation, for the opening of their hearts, their minds, to come to know the Messiah, I combat on every front the lies of anti-Semitism, and by God's grace will continue to do so. The good news is the light expels the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. It's bad that there's a lot of darkness now, but the light will continue to shine, and the lies will be exposed. Okay, we come back on the other end of the break. I will get straight to your Jewish-related calls. So thanks for holding, and let's see, Jim and Rudolph and Carl in that order when we come back. 866-348-7884. Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard grace and truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Isaiah 26, Yetzer Samuch, Kitzo Shalom Shalom, Kivicha Batuach. The mind stayed on you, you'll keep in perfect peace, Shalom Shalom, because it trusts in you. 866-348-7884. Going to the phones on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Oh, I forgot to mention, so far this month, we've got a great resource package for you. In honor of, quote, Pride Month, to really equip you to be good witness, biblically grounded. I'll tell you about that a little bit later in the broadcast. Let us go to Mesa, Arizona. Jim, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The topic I want to talk about is the feasts that we read about in Scripture. And I'm
yes.
quite familiar because I've been a Christian for many years, and I've actually observed the feast in a Christian way as I look at it. over the years. But I noticed in, especially in Deuteronomy 16, he says here, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice like the Passover. And then on down in the Feast of Weeks, he says something similar. Mm-hmm. At the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And then he says three times a year, all your males shall appear before him in the place that he chooses. So, and further, I started searching out the places that God chooses.
Well there it's Jerusalem and the temple in context there.
Yeah.
There's no debate about that. So the question be how we apply that today?
Yes, in a sense, because I had a person tell me that if I did not go to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast, then I was doing it wrong because I should be mourning and fasting during the feast days if I couldn't go to Jerusalem. And I disagreed with that, but
yeah, of course you disagreed, rightly so. Jim, my guess is the person telling you that was a Gentile Christian also?
I'm not sure what, probably the person is.
Yeah, almost guaranteed, and then trying to live as a Jew. Almost guaranteed. So yeah. They're wrong on every count from beginning to end, categorically wrong. Number one, that was the Sinai covenant with Israel and the Jewish people. That's number one. It was never the covenant with the entire church. Never was there any hint that the entire church was now to take on the Sinai covenant and offer sacrifices in the temple and make pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year. Never, ever. Quite the contrary, Jesus introduced a new and better covenant. That's number one. So you're not a Jew. You're not under the Sinai covenant. Doesn't apply. Number two, everything finds its fulfillment in Yeshua. Everything in the Sinai covenant and in the Old Testament as a whole finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Now, Genesis 1:14 does mention that the stars, sun, moon, etc., that these were put in place, among other things, for Moadim, which is appointed times. So many believe that even at creation, God established a calendar and that they are the Lord's feasts, so that's something we can all partake of. But like you said, Jim, in a Christian way. So when Paul writes of it in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, to the Corinthian believers, some of whom first heard the message while they were in the synagogue, they weren't Jews, but they were God-fearing Gentiles and would go to the synagogue to learn and to grow spiritually. Paul says to them, for Messiah, our Passover, meaning our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Not a physical Passover lamb, but Jesus the Messiah. And therefore, rather than cleansing our houses of physical leaven, he says, get rid of the spiritual leaven. Get rid of the uncleanness and the sin and the junk that's in your own midst. So there is a spiritual application during the time of Passover / Easter, celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus as the final act of liberation by God. Then 50 days later, Pentecost, Shavuot, the outpouring of the Spirit. So we celebrate that great act in history. Churches do that on Pentecost. We are looking forward to his return with a trumpet blast and to national salvation for Israel and for the ingathering of the nations. So we pray for those things to happen. And if the Lord lays it on your heart on a day, say, when Jews are fasting like Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month of the biblical calendar, which would be September, October on our calendars, if the Lord lays it on your heart to fast and pray for their salvation, then you do that. But there is no command, there's no mandate. And it's generally speaking, Gentile Christians who somehow think they're supposed to live like Jews and then start putting others in bondage where it gets really necessary. So, Jim, your mentality is right. You're taking issue with them is right. And you just have to kind of shake your head and pray that people find things better to do than to try to put Jesus-loving Christians into bondage. So, Jim, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for answering.
You are very, very welcome. So I'm down in Florida some years ago with my dear friend, Dr. James White. We are doing a presentation at a seminary, and then the next night we are going to be doing a debate, the two of us debating a gay pastor and a lesbian pastor about his homosexuality consistent with New Testament obedience. And it's Friday night, so this is the night of the seminary presentation, and I see a guy out in the audience, and he's dressed as an ultra-Orthodox Jew. And I said to James, I guarantee you, he's not Jewish. How did I know it? Well, I just could. The look and feel was one. I said, but if he's ultra-Orthodox, so he's dressed like this, he's living ultra-Orthodox life, how did he get here on a Friday night? Because you can't drive a car. So sure enough, he was a Gentile Christian, a sweetheart of a guy. He said, I just love the Jewish people so much. I dress like this. I don't recommend it. It is misleading. It is telling someone that you're someone other than you are. And if you're trying to reach a religious Jew, I guarantee you that is the first way to turn them off. It is act like an imposter, and it's to tell them your whole message is deceptive. It is utterly destructive when people do that. Just letting you know. In any case, if you say, hey, the Lord's prompted me to celebrate the feast in these ways, wonderful. If you say, yeah, our congregation incorporates these in a spiritual way that's Yeshua-centered, wonderful. If you say, no, for me, I worship Jesus, that's the fulfillment, wonderful. This is not a New Testament command. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rudolph in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. When the Apostle Paul was Saul, was he a member of the Sanhedrin?
No, never was. Was never a member of the Sanhedrin. Never claimed to be a member of the Sanhedrin. Absolutely not. So Nicodemus would have been, Joseph of Arimathea would have been, but Saul/Paul, nope, absolutely not. No evidence of it. He never makes the claim.
What about Gamaliel, his teacher?
So, Gamaliel would have been a national leader. Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Would have been a national governmental leader. But not
okay.
And apparently, Gamaliel had thousands of students as well. Thank you for the question, by the way. So, just one quick little thing. We often talk about how Saul got converted, became a Christian, and changed his name from Saul to Paul. That's really false. It's really false. Saul, at birth, as a Jew and a Greek citizen, would have had at least two names. Some would say three. But he would have had a Hebrew name, Shaul, and he would have had a Greek name, Paulus, right? Some say a Latin name as well, which would have been similar to Paulus. So he was always Saul/Paul. And he's known as Saul even after he puts his faith in Jesus as the Messiah, right? He's still a Jew, still known as Saul, can still stand up in the ruling council and say, I'm a Pharisee, right? So many, many years later, right? Obviously, he didn't hold as binding some of the traditions, but he still lived as a religious Jew. So Saul, as a follower of Yeshua, is still called Saul right through Acts 13 when he goes out on his mission to the Gentiles. Now his Gentile name is used, Paul, right? So he was always Saul, Paul. And when I say it's wrong to think he converted, became a Christian, the term Christian didn't exist yet. And he didn't convert like join another religion. He recognized with deep repentance how he had been persecuting Jesus and his followers, and this Jesus, Yeshua, was actually the Jewish Messiah and the Lord. That's what he bowed down to, and that's where he repented. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Carl in Canada. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, my wife and I are torchbearers. We've actually increased our giving, and just a shameless plug for your ministry. Anybody who's not a torchbearer needs to be one. We just absolutely love what you're doing and participating in that as well. So,
well, thank you. And listen, Carl, we are making a difference together. When I sign our monthly letters saying together we're making a difference, I mean it from the heart. And you would be so encouraged, you know, just even being in Israel, the random people that came up to me virtually every day with reports of how the ministry was a blessing to them. And of course, behind the scenes, what we're doing in many ways to reach Jewish people around the world, among other things. And that's with your help. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, praise God. We're just grateful to participate in the harvest together. Another comment I want to make before I get to my question, I'll make it quick. I've been to Yad Vashem, and I'll tell you, if you're a believer and haven't been there, I spent about 4.5 hours in there, and it was in 2000, actually, and I bawled my eyes out. I could not believe what I saw. So it had a tremendous impact to me, even to this day. So I just want to throw that in there.
And that, you know, was important. We went through Yad Vashem more quickly with our tour group. You can go through it, but the right way is there's so much video content, and you can watch people talking and Holocaust survivors talking, and then see videos from the past and that are quite devastating and overwhelming. This is something that happened, one of the horrors in human history that cannot be minimized. Again, don't compare it to other horrors. Recognize the horror that it was. All right, Carl, your question on the other side of the break.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of 3 gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalea, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are back on the air. Thanks for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. All right, Carl in Canada, as to your question, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay, so I'll make this succinct. First of all, you've had this question a number of times. It's regarding the tithe. Mm-hmm. Many pulpit ministers are teaching you must tithe where you're fed. Of course, they use the Malachi, bring it to the storehouse. You can't split up your giving is another thing. And you taught in a, I think it was a video or an audio, it was about 45 minutes long, and then I want to clue up with something that we're doing and get your thoughts on both thoughts. Okay, so you taught that it's a principle of tithing. It's not commanded to tithe in the New Testament, and that really struck with me. The other scripture that came to me is, give us your purpose in your heart. So what my wife and I have done is we actually have a specific bank account for what we do is anything we have coming in, any paychecks, any other monies that might come in, we actually put more than tithe into that specific account. And as we purpose in our heart, we give. It's not tax receipt driven. For example, giving into your ministry, we don't get a tax receipt, and we're okay with that. But we've given to India, we've given to other ministries, but I look at it kind of like an investment that when we sow that offering from our tithes and offerings account, we look at it like, where is there good fruit abounding to our account? Your ministry would be one of those ministries. So what could you just speak into that about this teaching that's coming? And it puts a lot of people in bondage. My wife was in a lot of trouble with that thought for a long time. But then I said, look, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, well, good. And thanks for leading the way just in your home and giving your wife security there. So number one, we're not under the Sinai covenant. Malachi 3 was under the Sinai covenant, where Israel was commanded to bring the tithes into the storehouse, so to the temple in Jerusalem, and that was to supply the temple service and support the Levites, etc. So that's what it was for. That's why it was brought there. And there was a curse on those who didn't. All right. Now, the principle is, as you emphasized my point, the principle is that we should honor God with first fruits, and that it should be the way we live our lives, to give to God and his work first, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Yes, Scripture says that. And let those who are taught in the word share all good things with their teachers. So by all means, you want to support your home congregation. The principal main place that you are nurtured, where you grow, where you serve, where you receive benefits of the service of the leaders there, absolutely, you want to start there. But that may not be the only place where you're fed or ministered to, right? So it may be that you attend on a Sunday morning, and that's it. You don't go for counseling there. You don't partake of any benefits there. You don't get anything. You show up, you're one of 10,000 people on a Sunday morning, right? And you enjoy the ministry, but let's say you spend 20 hours a week downloading teachings from another ministry and drinking them in and writing back and forth with questions and things like that. Well, obviously, they deserve support as well. So it's a principle. The command or telling people you're cursed, it's a wrong way to do it. Now, if Christians tithed, if Christians gave more faithfully to their home churches, a lot of pressure would lift. But to say it all has to go there, exclusively go there, is really misapplying Malachi 3. So the storehouse, in that case, would be the place where you're getting your primary spiritual nourishment and receiving the services of those people. That's the principle, right? If you go to a restaurant, you pay your bill there, not at the restaurant next door where you don't eat. It's just the principle of it. It's nothing magical about it. Hey, thank you for the question. All right, so I don't forget, if you'd like a great resource, Can You Be Gay and Christian?, most important book that I've written that deals with what the Bible says and having a compassionate understanding for those who have same-sex attraction. Can You Be Gay and Christian? Because it is, quote, Pride Month everywhere you turn in June. We're making that book available to you, and with it, a free debate that I did with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. Oh, this is an eye-opener. Is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? Now, I said it wasn't, but that the agenda was a serious agenda, and I think my opening presentation alone will blow you away. It seemed to hits really pretty hard too, my opinion, the opinion of others there as well. So the video is free. The debate is free when you get the book. All right, so if you'd like to do that, the number to call is 800-538-5275. You'll find the book compelling from the very first page and super practical, full of truth and compassion. And the video, it's the debate, which speaks for itself. So you get the book and the debate absolutely free. Order the book, get the video of the debate free. 800-538-5275 is the number to call. Our special offer for Pride Month, I failed to share it until now. So take advantage of that if you would like to. All right, let's go over to Kenwe, somewhere in North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Are you there?
Hello, how are you?
Good, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, so first thing first, I just want to say all praises to the Most High, Yahweh, who is our Heavenly Father, Bahashem, in the name of Yahweh Shai, who the world so-called ignorantly Jesus Christ.
By the way, can I just say that all your Hebrew pronunciation is 100% wrong according to ancient Hebrew. Just want to let you know that, since you called others ignorant.
You said it was
100% wrong according to ancient Hebrew. 100% grammatically, morphologically wrong. 100% according to ancient Hebrew, which I read fluently. Just being honest with you.
What makes you think it's wrong?
I know it's wrong because we know vowel structure from the ancient languages.
I'm pretty sure. Well, okay. So, what's your answer to the ancient Hebrew name of our Heavenly Father and our Messiah?
Yeah, Yahweh and Yeshua. Yeshua is fixed. We know that for certain.
That's where you're wrong because there's no you in the ancient Hebrew Peleleu.
Yeah, yes, there is. Of course, there is. You're 100% ignorant. This is my field. I've got a PhD in it. I read it fluently in the original scripts, the original languages. Of course there's an ooh sound. Absolutely. I can prove it categorically. I can prove it by comparative data from Akkadian. I can prove it with comparative data from other inscriptions. I can prove it from development of the language in Hebrew and Syriac and Aramaic and Arabic, none of which you know, and all of which I know.
With all due respect, I'm not here to argue on what's the real name.
Okay, but you started with that name and called others ignorant who say Jesus Christ. It merited an honest response from me. Isn't that fair?
Because you led
with it. I told you it's completely wrong. But by all means, go ahead with your point, please.
All right, so earlier you were talking about how Jewish people were getting considered like being like evil and all that.
No, I said Jews like everybody else. We've sinned and we've come under divine judgment, and we've been lied about.
Jewish people.
Go ahead.
Excuse me?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So you were saying how the Jewish people were called evil in today's society, and they are because they are not. They are the synagogue.
No, you're the synagogue of Satan. Actually, you claim to be a Jew, and you're not. You're the synagogue of Satan. You are the synagogue of Satan because you claim to be a Jew, and you're not.
Kenny,
you claim to be a Jew, and you are not, and you oppose those like me who preach the gospel of Yeshua. That makes you a member of the synagogue of Satan. You claim to be a Jew/Israelite, and you are not. So I pray the Lord brings you to repentance and salvation. Jews are as evil and as good as everybody else. We have good qualities, bad qualities, just like every other person on the planet. That's reality. But you, sir, would be a perfect example of synagogue of Satan, opposing the true preaching of the gospel and claiming to be a Jew when you are not. Just being candid with you.
Wake up. All my peoples, all my blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, y'all need to come into this truth and know what your bloodline is. We are a Hebrew Israelite. We do not come from these so-called people that call us African Americans. We do not come from two continents. We are not Hispanic. We are not Native Americans. We are Hebrew Israelites. And that's what I come here to say today on 105.7. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for calling in and giving a plug for the station. But that's thank you for the call. This is a perfect illustration of the intellectual, moral, and spiritual blindness that hangs over these people for whom Jesus died and for whom I pray. That's the level of deception. And Kenley, here's a fact, which I say to you. The wake-up call is for you. The awakening is people realizing the corrupt seed that is behind your teaching. The waking up is people realizing how much vile hatred circulates among so-called Hebrew Israelites. And there's a reason, sir, that DNA is against you. There's a reason that history is against you. There's a reason that archaeology is against you. There is a reason that language is against you. And that's because the 12 tribe charts is 100% bogus. Now, right now, you're not in the state of mind to hear. May the Lord calm your heart and mind and bring you to a place of repentance. But others are thinking and wondering. Here's what I encourage you to do. Dig deeper. Yes, it's dangerous to go against the crowd of radical Hebrew Israelites. You may get intimidated. Follow the truth wherever it leads, because the truth is going to set you free. And this is another perfect example of why we are on the air.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.